Yes, we're good.
Oh, shit. Okay, I didn't know we were starting. I didn't know we were going like that. But what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Too Much Test podcast. We haven't posted in a little while. Me and Sam have been busy. We just haven't lined up. I was actually sick with the thing recently. I don't even think I told Sam that. But thank you guys for being here. This is where we talk about all kinds of stuff, manly stuff, manly gear, and other stuff like that. But I'll keep talking because Sam's chewing. Sam's an animal and tearing down some steak.
I just finished my food. How you doing, bro? It's been a while, man.
Doing good. Got a lot of different stuff going on, so I've been busy. But it's always good to get on the podcast. I miss doing it. It's fun.
It is fun. Have you changed anything with your compounds you're taking or anything like that?
Bro, I'm pretty much natty at this point. So if you're a follower of the show, I was on 240 test, nandrolone, tadalafil. I dropped the nandrolone just because it was like 10, 12 weeks. So I didn't want to stay on that too long. So I dropped the nandrolone. I haven't been taking MK677 or any growth hormone stuff. I'm just kind of taking a little break. Dropped it down.
What was your thought process? Or because I know you've been busy in like other areas of your life. Is that more so because you just have other shit going on?
No, it didn't really have anything to do with what my life, like my busy schedule or anything like that. I was just like, I don't stay on nandrolone year round. You know, I mean, it's an anabolic compound, you know, obviously. So it takes a little bit of a toll, even at 100 milligrams. But my shoulder's been feeling a little bit better. And I was like, I'm just going to drop the nandrolone. And then I was like, you know what, let me just drop the MK677 for a little bit. Because even though I'm not using abusive doses or anything, you know, I mean, that stuff, you know, it has an effect. Still taking tadalafil. Actually, kind of an interesting story. I've been taking oral BPC just as kind of overall, you know, like, you know, healing, as we know BPC does. And I recently got more tattoo work done on I basically got this whole top half of this octopus done.
Oh, cool.
And what I did was I took aquifer, which, if you know, people use that on tattoos when you first get them. You keep the tattoo kind of wet so it doesn't scab up and pull the ink out.
Oh, interesting.
What was that?
Interesting. I've never heard of that before. I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, aquifer is like it's similar to type kind of like Vaseline. It's a little thicker, and I think you use it on like babies, like skin rashes and stuff like that. But you basically, when you get a new tattoo, you keep it a thin layer of that stuff over the tattoo as much as you can. And like I said, it keeps the tattoo wet. It keeps your skin from scabbing up. So I took that and I mixed that with 2 capsules, which was 1,000 micrograms of BPC powder. And I tried to mix that up, but the BPC did not break down into that. So I was just like rubbing like clumps of BPC and aquifer on. And so it looked like it was all white on my shoulder. So it looked like I had like dandruff or something. So I got the idea. I put a little lotion in it and I mixed it around real good. And dude, it worked really well.
What do you think of like, cause you had, I think you did some tattoo work 2 months ago as well, right? Part of the outline for that. So did you feel like it made a difference in terms of the healing quickness of it?
Well, so we did the outline. The outline was one appointment. And then, I don't know, if people that watch, you can see kind of the guy did the head portion of it, kind of this main body part. And then he also did the rest of the legs. This was the most recent appointment. So outlines, because it's only on a small part of the skin, they heal pretty quick. It's when big chunks of color is where you will take longer to heal. And I think today would be day 7, and I've been pretty much just using lotion for 2 days. So it wasn't anything crazy, but it was a lot of color. So I feel like the BPC helped a little bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Not like 2 days, you don't even realize that you had tattoo work done, but I think overall it helped a little bit. I'm going to do it again for the rest of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. There's, I have a buddy who has a bunch of GHKCU that was like a low purity. So like you wouldn't want to inject it, but there's nothing wrong with topically applying that.
Yeah.
And because it's not, you're like low purity. Like, well, what if you're injecting, or like, what if you're applying some like other garbage? Well, then first of all, you'd be like, well, look at the stuff you put on your skin to start with, or like whether that's like lotion or shampoo or cleaning products you have around your house or all that kind of stuff that gets absorbed into your skin that way. You see my dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see.
My girlfriend has been using the GHKCU on some of her skin and stuff like that. So I'm curious. She just started basically in the last week, but they, you know, the guy couldn't sell it. So he just has like lower purity, but the purity for peptides is not like carcinogens or anything like that. It just generally means like there could be amino acid like sequences that are not like bound properly, or there's a deformation in them. It doesn't necessarily, like, I think of purity as in like there's dirt in my shit, right?
Yeah.
But from my understanding, and I could be like not 100% accurate about my understanding of it, but that's not exactly how you would determine the purity for peptides, depending on like which method is used to determine the purity, because there's also different testing methods. So like,
yeah,
you might have a method, he's telling me how he's actually looking to like buy some of this stuff for his business. And so there's one method that you will, you know, take the compound and measure the weight of it. There's another one where it does like, right. So if you know the exact precise weight of each individual amino acid in a sequence of 37 different amino acids, right? Mm-hmm. You have the molecular weight of each individual amino acid in aggregate, you have them together and you know the total weight of a specific peptide.
Yeah.
So you'll like basically measure the weight of it. Then there's like, I don't know, there's like two other methods I think that you can go through to measure the purity of it. But from my understanding, it was more so like deformations of the actual sequence or other things and not from the purity. But
yeah, so it's like if you made, because that's very interesting, I didn't know that. So that's like if you were manufacturing parts and, you know, 97% of the parts that you made for that run were defective, you know, so it's not like the ones, the 97 that are, you know, perfectly fine are tainted. It's just that, you know, three of them came out kind of fucked up.
Exactly.
You know, that's interesting.
Home Depot boxes of like, I just bought a impact driver because I had to do some work, and all I had was like a regular drill, not an impact. And there's a store that's like near me that has discounted Home. I didn't actually go there to buy it because I couldn't find the store. My buddy went to it and wouldn't pick up the phone when I needed it. But they sell the pallets worth of shit that gets damaged at Home Depot. So like, you know, there's those stores that do it for Amazon, and you go in there and then like, oh, they're like, oh, a condom, you know, oh, there's a fork, right? You can buy all sorts of stuff in those stores. Yeah. For Amazon, this one's specifically for Home Depot, Lowe's type of stuff. So you can buy like a DeWalt impact driver that's 30 to 50% off because the box is damaged, or you know, it's got a crack, and they'll test it to make sure everything works, and they'll show you in the store, but you still get a big discount on there. So like, if you think of like the 97%, right, the use method, three of them, well, maybe the box is damaged. There's nothing actually wrong with it type of thing.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. You know, it's completely random that I was actually going to bring up GHK copper or CU, because I can't remember who it was, but someone like a week ago told me that they started using it and like, it really helped with the wrinkles in their skin. That's what, I mean, I guess, because I know people have used it. They use like the derma rollers and they put it on their hair to try to regrow hair. And I've heard about it a little bit for like skin and wrinkles. But this guy said, and now I do remember who told me that. And he's newer to like the whole peptide world. So, you know, he was like, I don't really know if these things were going to work. But he's like, honestly, it's really, you know, taken a lot of the wrinkles out of my face.
Damn. So he's just literally applying it to his forehead, or is he doing it?
I didn't ask. I believe he's doing the injections, but.
Interesting. There's a bunch of it that my buddy gave me because it was just, you know, lower purity. So I was trying to think of like a good, like, test or something that I could try, whether it's like applying it to my scalp or something. Cause it's like, you basically don't have to pay for it, so you can just
drink
a bunch of it. So,
bro, if you have a bunch of those bottles, just crack open the vials, pour out the powder, and just mix it with a lot of lotion, and make yourself like a GHK like face mask over.
Oh yeah, because that's how they sell a lot of it.
Do they? Okay. They do.
If you were to look up copper peptide or GHK copper, like cosmetics, there is a boatload of cosmetic products that carry it. Like, my girlfriend's not into like doing any type of injections or like, she understands that I know what I'm doing when I'm talking about peptides and stuff, but this is not her thing. And she like appreciates that, like, oh, this thing here, oh, I saw that at a medical spa or whatever the case is, right? Kind of thing. But, when learning about GHK and she sees it in her in cosmetic products, you see copper peptide, and then you look at the back of it and the active ingredient is GHKCU, right? And so she's like more comfortable with using something like that because it's like more familiar with her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out because that's I've heard good stuff about that.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I have a bunch of it for my buddy. It's not super high purity, so I wouldn't do an injection with it. But I can always send you some if you want.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. That's awesome. Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
I don't think we ever mentioned the sponsors for the show. So if you guys want to check out some actual peptides, you can check out the triggerbrand.store. There's a code for 10% off TMT10. Too much test, right? TMT10.
And don't even do Ultimate Gym Towel. Just go into the description, click on my link tree thing, and if you find anything that you want, then you know, just go through there, and I appreciate the support.
So I'm in the process of putting together my fertility plan, right? Because, you know, I've kind of brought that up off and on over the last couple months. So I've got the LH checked. Zero. I've got the FSH checked.
LH was zero. Oh, well, yeah, you're on TRT. Shit, what am I saying?
Yeah. But FSH was also zero. My sperm was zero. They just said, oh, you have undetected. They couldn't detect it. So, like, I don't know if their detection level was, like, some threshold above zero. They don't say. They just said it. They couldn't detect any sperm. And you pay $200 to get this, like, sample, and there's like an ice pack of stuff like that in there, and then you ship it, and it's like one day air express, so then it gets back as quickly as possible, and then they test it. So there's none in there. So now I just sent out some enclomiphene powder for testing. So I ordered some enclomiphene powder.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, if you've never ordered whatever you want to order online, there's a site out there that will allow you to order whether, and it's not just one site that will allow you to order everything. It's just like, I guarantee there's a site on the internet that will allow you to order anything that you want to order online. So I ordered some enclomiphene powder, like enough to last me for like 8 months, right? Mm-hmm. Or 10 months. So like, depending on, I didn't even do the math, but it's probably going to last me for fucking years. Like no, like just a long, long, long time. So I sent out my sample to get tested to make sure that it is actually what they say it is. So when that comes back, I will put that into capsules, and enclomiphene, if anybody's listening, the clomid, right? Like you have clomid. Clomid is made up of two parts, zooclomiphene and enclomiphene. Enclomiphene is like the good part of clomid, and zooclomiphene is the bad one. The zooclomiphene acts like estrogen. That's why most guys feel like shit on it. Yeah. And so I just want the good part of clomid. So I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then also do icing my balls 3 times a day.
Yep. HCG.
But also, what do you think of this? So I was thinking HCG, maybe 1500 a week, say 3 times a week.
Pretty typical for fertility.
But then I don't know, I want to actually add in HMG in addition to this. So I think, I don't know, and I could be wrong because it was a little bit ago when I looked it up, but I thought HMG was like 75 IU a week or something like that per day.
Either that or that's the size of the bottle. I know it's a lot smaller amount of IUs for the dosing for that.
So I was thinking of taking like a fraction of the dose for HMG that I would, like if somebody was just taking HMG, and I'm going to combine those two together because HMG has like the LH basically with it. And I want to ideally do it without coming off of testosterone.
So you want to, try to do all that stuff and see if you can kickstart it with testosterone. Any thought about lowering the dosage of testosterone? I guess it doesn't really matter. If you're suppressed, you're suppressed.
I honestly think it's probably from all the years of SARMs. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I agree with you, man. They're suppressive, and you know, you like you said, you don't go crazy with dosage, but you've used a good amount of them, obviously with good results. It's fertility is crazy, man. That's the only thing I would think. I mean, if it doesn't, I don't think you've ever mentioned having any estrogen side effects, but I mean, the HCG can definitely spike that up a little bit. I'm not sure about HMG. So
maybe getting. Because I probably won't have all the pieces in place for like probably at least a month, right? Get the testing back. I want to get like the HCG in, but get enough in so that I'll have like not have to be concerned about getting more of it in for a while, you know, and that kind of thing. But I should get my estrogen checked.
Well, no, I'm saying if you, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you. I mean, what's the highest dosage of tests you've taken? 270, I think you said.
Yeah, something like 270. Yeah. There was there was 1 week where I got like 300, but I thought it was 200, and so like I was doing my dosing off of like a 200 base amount, but it was actually a 300 per mg. So there was like a week or 2 weeks where I didn't realize that, and I don't know what the dose was, but yeah, basically 275, I think, was the highest I've taken.
And never had any issues where you thought you needed Arimidex or Exemestane or anything?
Maybe tiny amounts, but it could have just been in my mind. I didn't check.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's your current dosage of test right now?
So about 30% of an ml that is 300. So what is that?
If you're doing what, 0.66 a week, roughly 2/3 of an ml?
Yeah. So I'm doing just under, just under 1/3 on the ML, and I believe it's 300, but it might be 250. I just switched recently, and I don't know what to switch to. So it's either like 220 or 250, right around there.
If it was me personally, and I was taking that much HCG, I mean, I would probably drop the test down to 200. You know, if you're going to spend all this money on clomiphene, HCG, HMG, like I just wouldn't be like blasting at the same time you're trying to get your fertility, you know?
So do you think 200 is low enough, or do you think I should like might get better results of dropping?
I mean, you obviously handle testosterone pretty well. I mean, you know, I mean, 200 is a pretty standard dose in my opinion. So, I mean, you know, I would just say I would keep it at where you think is good enough to still be achieving your goals. And hopefully, I mean, bro, you may learn three months down the road that, you know, that testosterone is just making it too hard to get fertile, and you may have to drop it and just kind of stick with the HCG and the Enclo and the, you know, HMG, but worth a try. I mean, it's not like you're under like a time frame to have a child, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So, there's a guy at my gym
who's going ape shit.
Somebody just knocked on the door, sorry. There's a guy at my gym who's probably in his in his mid 50s, and he wants to get his girl pregnant. Mm-hmm. And he's going through stop. He's been on no test for, he's a big dude. Like he's taken multiple grams per week before.
Oh, wow.
And so he's been on zero test for 3 months. And you know what it's like with, I don't know, you had low testosterone. I don't know if you ever stopped taking your testosterone during the, you've been on for 4.5, 5 years now or something, right?
Yep.
Like ever stopped? Have you ever stopped?
No.
Okay. So I did, right? Because I did it for a period of time when I was like 18 or 17 or 19 or something like that. Then I didn't for a long time. And you don't feel good, right? Like you don't feel good at all. But you don't, to understand that feeling is, like you actually have to go through it, right? And so I see him at the gym, and he just is like a whiny little bitch now. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I like the guy. He's an awesome dude, right?
Yeah.
But when you have low testosterone, like it sucks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. he's probably, I mean, probably dealing with some ED issues. I mean, severe fatigue, all the bad stuff that comes with low test.
Literally, I saw him today, and it's been 3 months. He got a new sperm test, nothing. LH is like at 0.8 or 0.08 or something. I don't remember what, I think it's 0.8.
Yeah,
and like normal right. range, like 1.5 or something, or 1.8. So it's like, it did improve from zero, but it didn't improve that much. FSH improved a little bit as well, but it's just like, he feels like garbage.
Is he on anything? Is he on any type of fertility medicine?
HCG, 3,500 a week. Clomid 50 per day.
Oof.
And he's like, bro, the first like month and a half, he was like pounding headache. He's like, bro, nonstop. It was just like somebody was doing this in my head, like from the Clomid. And it was just pounding headaches. But you said fatigue. So I literally saw him before I just came from the gym, and then I got home to eat something, right? That's why I was like eating when we started.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I get home and I'm tired. I wake up and I'm tired. He's like, I'm tired all the time. Yeah. And you just don't feel like doing anything. Testosterone, if you have like good levels, it makes effort like,
yeah,
fun. Like putting in effort when you have like a lot of, like, you don't have to be super high testosterone, but say like maybe above 700 or 800 levels of testosterone. Effort feels good. You enjoy applying effort in your life, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have low testosterone, you don't. It's just like a massive wall you need to figure out how to climb, and you're just sitting there like a little bitch, and you're like, damn, I have low testosterone. Big ass wall. I think I'm just gonna sit here.
It's crazy because I actually dropped HCG from my protocol probably like 2 months ago because my wife stopped taking birth control because it was making her feel like shit, you know, because it's, bro, birth control for girls is like taking like a low dose suppressive injection of testosterone, like 25 milligrams twice a week. You know, it just shuts down your natural production, but it gives you just enough to, you know, or just enough to shut you down, but nothing to replace. Think about how many girls are on birth control. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But you know, I was saying Sam's over here doing a whole full fertility protocol, and I'm doing a non-fertility protocol.
I
haven't noticed any atrophy either. I haven't noticed anything. I mean, I didn't fucking break out the tape measure or anything, but seems like it was just good to go still.
I feel like my balls are probably smaller than they were in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, and what, like, I think is going to be tremendously helpful is the actual icing on the balls. You know, that guy, Steve, Vigor Steve, I think he goes.
Yeah.
I think a year or 2 years ago, he did, he came off of, he claimed to have come off of everything and did, like blood work, and then, was doing a protocol of icing your balls 3 times a day, I think for 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Yeah,
for like several weeks, and then went back and tested again, and it had a massive impact on his levels. So I think that it's possible. Mm-hmm. I could do it with still on testosterone, because how many times do you hear about like somebody being on testosterone and still getting their girl pregnant?
Of course. Right?
So yeah, it's possible, right? I just it might take a little bit longer, and my thought process is with the, and clomiphene has, at least it might even be beneficial, like what you were saying with taking some, like an estrogen, you know, like an AI of some sort to potentially suppress estrogen slightly, because that's part of the loop, right?
Yeah.
Is estrogen, right? So if for like the HPD, so like if I suppress my estrogen just a little bit, I'll probably dry out a little bit, but also the enclomiphene could be more effective, in my opinion. I don't know. This is just, you know, my theory, but it could make that more effective. And then also icing the balls and the HMD and HCG. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm really like listening to this dude, or my buddy from 2 years ago, who like, he was taking 3 grams in a week of like different types of compounds at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. And he tried to come off, and he was off for like 6 months, and he felt like,
oh yeah.
It was painful to talk to him, because when you talk to those guys who have low testosterone, right? Because you've I know you've talked to a bunch of different guys in this arena who have low testosterone, and yeah. they like don't know how to make a decision, and they ask all these stupid questions, concerns are not actually concerns, right? Like they just don't know how to make decisions, and that's what my buddies, these two guys, from like one from six, seven, 8 months ago, and my buddy that I saw at the gym tonight, like they're in that stage where it's like feel for them because that sucks.
Yeah, yeah, that does have to suck, man. Yeah, that's, I mean, you're taking 3 grams a week. I mean, I feel bad for you, but I mean, you kind of brought that upon yourself.
And question, politics related, right? Because this is kind of like some of the directions we go every once in a while. The election is supposed to happen next year, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy, Vivek?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember his last name, but yeah.
What do you think? I like real estate, and he was on with this real estate guy. Do you know who Grant Cardone is?
Yeah, yeah.
So he did a podcast with Grant Cardone. So I was like driving back. I had like a 10-hour drive, so I listened to it. Wow, this guy's impressive, bro.
He's smart. I don't know much about him, but when I've just seen him, you know, casually on clips and stuff. He's very articulate, smart, super smart guy.
Hey, if you have like a 45-minute or an hour drive or something where you can do something at the same time,
yeah,
grab one of his like longer form videos and listen to it. By far, way better than any of the clips.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh no, go for it.
This dude wants to get rid of the Department of Education, the FDA. The EPA, I think he wants to change DOD drastically and get rid of the FBI and get rid of, I think, the CIA. Whoa, this is incredible. Think about how fucking awesome it would be to get rid of those giant bureaucracies of waste, right? Like,
yeah, that'd be cool.
Right? Yeah. The Department of Education putting out propaganda to, like, students and, like,
I wouldn't mind like a, you know, like a complete overhaul, you know, like,
yes.
You know, like we give this organization, you get $500 billion a year. Like, what are you guys doing? You know, we can outsource that. Okay. All right. We'll pay 10% of what we're paying you and we'll get it done better. You know, like, bro, you look at like government websites and you know, they spent crazy amounts of money on them. They freaking don't work. They're slow. They're clunky. And then you get on like a website on Shopify and it's like, oh yeah, this is smooth. This is slick. This looks fantastic. You know,
graphics are good. It's so simple. It's very intuitive.
Yeah. It doesn't look like AOL, like the, you know, .gov one.
Yeah. That would be incredible. I think we're at that point where we have, if something doesn't change soon and drastically, like, getting rid, like the FBI or like the Department of Education, right? I think both of those, we can both agree, are like, one's used for, you know, going against your opponent if you're on the Democrat side, right? And doing a bunch of other horrible things that we'll never ever hear about, right? The Department of Education is what's behind giving schools cash if they teach propaganda, right? Like, they're not forcing propaganda, but you don't get money if you don't teach propaganda, right? So they're partially behind the issues, what's happening with schools right now. And I don't think any one individual could fucking make an intelligent argument that the school system's not utterly broken, right? So getting rid of those things, like you said, the billions and billions of dollars that these organizations just waste.
Yeah.
Like, we need this giant overhaul of things. Otherwise, if things don't change, there's not like, it's literally just continues to go downhill worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And the best people in this country leave and go to another country, right? Yeah, like, right. I will be leaving this country if things don't start to change.
If it gets crazy, bro, I watch a show called like Caribbean Life. It's like one of those shows where they fly a couple down to, you know, where they want to move to. And they look at 3 different houses and pick one. And man, I mean, like places like Roatan, Honduras, lots of different places in Costa Rica. Dude, I'm looking at some of these houses. There's some of these houses that I look at. They're worth on the show, they're selling for the same amount that my house would sell for now. And it's like 2,500 square foot pool on the side of a mountain, you know, with a view of like a beautiful harbor. And I'm like, look in my backyard. I'm looking at a white plastic fence. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is crazy.
Hey, you know what? When you get ready to do that, let's do our own, like, let's buy one together, and we can just use it however we want to use it. We can do it, we can have it set up to do Airbnb, so it pays for all the operating costs of it.
Yeah.
And then we could just we would have to put something in writing so somebody doesn't like do something stupid in the future, right? But like, okay, we could each go there for a month per year. But if you want to, right, then we just have to like schedule with the person whoever we have doing Airbnb.
Bro.
And we have a place in another country that's all taken care of. That's and we awesome. Can and then like partner with somebody. So like, we could go out there for business meetings, and then it's a business trip too.
I love it. I like it. I was bro, I just started watching the show last night that I heard on Joe Rogan, and it's pretty cool, man. It's called Chimp Empire, right? And so it's Netflix, but what they did is they sent this film crew into, I don't even know what country it is. I would take a stab and say Africa, but they're following these type of chimps called, like, I think they're called Ngogo chimps, or that's the city that they live in or whatever. But the idea is that these photographers, they would always stay a certain amount of distance from the chimps. They did not bring food around them. They did not interact with them in any way. And so eventually over time, these chimps just ignore the cameras. It's just like, you know, if you're walking and you see a bird walking down the sidewalk, you don't really care if it's there all the time. And they basically just like these chimps, the main group that they follow, it's the largest group of chimps ever recorded. It's 120 of them that are like a group. And so they're like just talking about their social structure. And it's almost, dude, it's almost kind of like a movie where, you know, you have the alpha chimp who's like 60 years old and like he knows he's on his decline. And then there's a few like younger chimps that are like trying to be alphas, and like it's all politics. But then they run into another group and one of their main guys gets killed by them because he was alone. But it's just, bro, if you look at them, the way that the moms sit with the kids, like there was a scene where like the mom was kissing the little baby chimp on the lips, and bro, it's just like humans, dude. They're like, they're just a little bit off from humans, but they act so similar to us. It's pretty cool to watch.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's only 4 episodes, like 50 minutes. So it's not like a huge, like, you know, commitment, but it's pretty wild, man. It's like, I was just watching this and I was telling my wife, I'm like, dude, we're just like a smidge off from them. You know, like I was like, those are humans, but without speech. They're doing the same stuff. They have the same feelings. They just can't talk and they don't have the brain power.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, so you'll see things like that, right? And obviously, if you make content online, then you know that filming them is going to be cool and interesting. But, like, you also have to create the narrative, which could be accurate and everything like that. But then I hear that, and I'm sure it's very interesting. But then I'm like, it makes me question everything we've heard about in history. Like, if any of it's actually real, right? Because it's only the survivor that writes the history, not the other side, right?
And then talking about like evolution or something like that, or
just history in general, like,
oh, okay, gotcha.
All of it, because you're telling that, and then I'm like, damn, I'm thinking about anything that we've supposedly learned about history and what, like, how real any of that is, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, dude, you could go down the whole, the whole rabbit hole on a lot of that stuff. And for a lot of the stuff that's like happened in the past, like that doesn't affect now. Like, I don't really care that much. Like, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting if you could tell me 100%, here's the evidence, this is where it is. But yeah, man, I mean, yeah, the stuff that we were like taught in school, you know, like Christopher Columbus was a great guy and he went looking for the new land, like, pretty sure he probably killed some people on the way and, you know, slaughtered some different indigenous people, you know, but that's not in the history book.
Yeah. But also like, there's probably like, you know, 47 other same exact dudes that were like, you know, really great doing exactly the same thing, but they only chose to write about one person, right? Because he had the connections that were to the royalty, et cetera, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was like one person actually discovered it, and then he told his buddy about it, who happened to be Christopher Columbus, and Christopher Columbus decided to come over. So then they tell the story about that, even though it was actually the other dude. I have no idea, but like, you know, they're like, makes me really question any of the history that you would have liked.
It's tough these days, man. There's so much information. You don't know who to trust. You don't know if, I mean, the majority of the news is fake. So, you know, it's like that's out the window. And then you see stuff online and, you know, you don't know, was this written by another country that, you know, or is this, it's nuts, bro. It's pretty wild. I've got a pretty cool topic. You can watch this video. I watched this a few days ago. It's, do you know who a guy named Ryan Root is? Okay. So Anabolic Doc did a 40-minute video with him. So he was one of the largest ever sellers of UGL stuff that got caught. Mm. So he was basically saying that once he kind of learned like pharmacokinetics and he learned about all the different compounds and stuff, he kind of just was known in his hometown as like, if you want to get, you know, bigger, you know, just talk to this guy because he knows, you know, he has some minor connections. And he said he was only looking to make like a couple hundred bucks a week, just, you know, selling it to little buddies and stuff like that. But it started to get big where lots of people started asking him for stuff. So he was like, how can I monetize this? So, you know, he didn't go through like the exact details, but at one point, though, he had actually, someone had told him about an online forum where, you know, all these like, you know, UGL companies are listed out and they would like rank them. And, you know, this was back in like 2010. So it's a little bit different now, but toward the end, bro, it was like an operation, like kind of like a car, like a business, you know, like a corporate type thing, maybe not corporate, but he had a facility, a manufacturing facility where they would actually like cook the testosterone and all the different gear up, bottle it. And then they would ship that to a shipper, which was like someone living in a house in a certain state. And they would get these massive shipments of this and then they would ship them out. And how he got caught was one of the manufacturing places shipped something to the shipper and it was all glass amps. And a couple of them broke in the box and leaked. And so they could see that it was, you know, the post office could see that there was liquid inside the package. That gives them the right to open it up and check to make sure it's not like hazardous or poisonous or something. So, I mean, you can imagine they open it up and there's 200 vials of, you know, yellow oil. They get a pretty good idea of what's going on. But he, I guess that had happened in New York. So he made the decision just to suspend operations in New York. And it was two people that got arrested at the shipping place. And so he paid for lawyers for them. And, you know, they were like, I guess the attorney that was working with them was like, you know, it doesn't look like the feds are going to pick it up. It wasn't enough to, you know, really like get a federal investigation into it. So he's like, all right, we just won't deal with New York and we'll just keep doing all this stuff. And he said at this point they were doing like close to about $500,000 a week. Like it was big, they were big, you know, and, but obviously the feds picked it up and.
That's $26 million a year.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And he had a lot of employees as well. I mean, there's overhead, of course, but I mean, you know, the raw ingredients for testosterone is typically not that expensive from China and stuff like that. But he did his time. I think he did like 6 years or something like that, but he's back out. And now he's also a content creator as well. He tries to, he's supposedly has a degree in like biochemistry. So he's really like deep into like all that stuff works, but it's an interesting video. It's kind of, I like stories like that, kind of see how that stuff starts to build and grow.
Did I tell you about, that is very interesting. Reminds me of that indictment that I read. Did I tell you about that? Mm-mm. There was a guy that was, had a SARM, no, a peptide company. Mm-hmm. And he got shut down, right? And yeah. Because I find this stuff interesting, I decided to actually find the indictment, right? Because normally you if you're not in this arena, right? Sometimes the, if the, I guess the Justice Department might get involved, and it's on like a .gov website, and you'll be able to see what they're like, hey, so-and-so got arrested for this thing or whatever the case is, but they don't have the actual case.
Yeah.
So the indictment I found for this one that was on the .gov website, and this guy had started a peptide company.
Yeah.
He was selling peptides, and he had a private Facebook group where he would recommend like how to use the peptides and how to take them. And obviously that is not legal. So they caught him for that. And in the indictment, it's, I'd never read one before, but so I thought it was interesting. They outline like the case, right? So it'll be like, okay, TYL did, you know, this thing here.
TYL didn't do shit.
So like, you know, whoever did the, here's case one, right? This is the bad thing they did. Case number two, the bad thing they did. Case three, right? It could be very long or it could be very simple.
Yeah.
And then they said, so they give the kind of like evidence for that taking place. And then they go on to say, if convicted of count one, this is what we believe the should happen, right? Or if count two, then we believe this is what should happen. So he's selling these peptides and recommending people how to use them, which is illegal. And they say if evicted one, and one of them is for money laundering, right? Like first one's like you're selling drugs and you can't do that because you're recommending them. You can't do that. Have to be, if you're selling for research purposes, then they have to be for research purposes, right? But if you were doing that, then once now you have that money, and then if you use that money for anything, that's considered money laundering, effectively, from the my interpretation of reading through that. Right?
Wow.
It was like count one is selling peptides and recommending people how to use them, which is illegal. Then account number two is money laundering because you took that money, right? And you did stuff with it, which is, I guess, money laundering, according to them. It's not how I interpreted money laundering.
No, me neither.
And the result is like, hey, if convicted account one, we would like this bank account, this bank account, this bank account, right?
Yeah.
The dude bought a house and two vehicles, and we'd like the house and the two vehicles and any other assets that were acquired in this way, as long as they can, you know, trace that this is how the money went there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, and I read through this, and I was like, wait, right? Because what do we think about this when I'm like, hey, Joe Schmo just got indicted? What is the immediate thought? Or like, oh, this company got shut down. Is that there's a negative ramification to that person and they go to jail? That's the story that I had in my mind. And I read through this indictment and the reality is completely different. And don't they, I feel like I've heard this and I'm not going to remember correctly, is that like, I don't remember. Is white collar like a person who works with their hands, or is blue collar the person who works with their hands?
Blue collar works with their hands. White collar is like higher up type of.
Okay. So like white collar, crime, you don't spend time in jail, it sounds like. And I'm not saying this is white collar. I'm just saying like there's a saying out there, a cliche, that's like,
yeah,
this type of crime you go to jail for, these types of crimes you don't go to jail for, right? And if the idea was that you had these things happen and then they just were like, hey, we want the money back.
But it's like if you get pulled over by the cops and they like open your trunk and there's like a key of coke and there's like, you know, 50 grand in cash, the cops are like, yoink, put that in our trunk and you're free to go, sir. You know, it's basically like, we don't care what you we don't care what you did, we're just taking your shit.
So that makes you think, though, doesn't it, in a very evil, seditious way?
Yeah,
like the people out there that are committing these crimes, Sam Bankman-Fried, right? The scumbag.
He's in jail. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't know if he's walking out of there. Rather
not. And if you look at the extradition laws from the Bahamas, they say that when somebody's extradited, right, they can only be charged with what they were used to extradite. So what happened is the United States was like, oh, we're going to pull this bitch out of here, right, in terms of Sam Bankman-Fried. Then just to get him out of the country. They pulled him out. Then they started charging him with all this stuff. You can't legally do that. So they had to drop all those charges. That's why you saw that stuff in the news a couple weeks ago. right? They had all these extra charges that they brought against him. They can't charge him for any of those things because they used this one charge to pull him out, and that's the only thing they can actually charge him with in terms of the extradition rules, laws in place from the Bahamas, right?
That's crazy. I didn't remember that before.
Stealing billions of dollars worth of money, like he's out on bail, right? But stealing billions of dollars worth of people's money and you don't do anything, he's probably going to do probation, bro. He's probably not going to even go to jail. And he's probably has them on a separate, like, cold storage that he's not going to access at this time or, like, any time in the near, like, you know, several next couple of years or something like that, or in, you know, 37 cold storages so that, like, they're much harder to track. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like Monero or other places so that he can do shit with them. Like, and it makes you think, I mean, I'm not a bad person. And I don't do things that are bad,
yeah.
But you could see how if the consequences of doing something bad is like you said, okay, here's your cocaine, you're good to go, right? Like, you know, hey, you got a thing of cocaine, okay, give that to the cops, then you're done. Like, that doesn't seem like a fucking consequence to me, right? Well, like,
dude, take like the cocaine out of it. Let's just say a cop searching a guy's car. You know, who's driving at 3 a.m. or something like that. And, you know, opens up a duffel bag and it's got 20-30 grand in there. And then, you know, the cop just grabs it, puts it in his trunk. And he's like, all right, sir, you're good to go. You know, like, what are you going to say? Like, you know, what are you going to say? Like, the cop stole my money. And you're like, what? I didn't steal it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they use intimidation tactics or stuff like that. I mean, bro, you know that, like, special, like, undercover DEA, that, you know, there's some guys that have gotten, you know, you walk in, you bust open someone's safe during a raid and it's stacked top to bottom in cash. And you're like, yeah, it was stacked about 70% in cash. You know, you're walking out with like all the, you know, you look like 20 pounds heavier than when you walked in.
Yeah.
Guarantee, bro, that stuff's happening.
Think about that though. Like, he's doing something that's blatantly illegal to do. And the consequences, so say they claim that he made like $1.2 million, right? Okay, so say he made $1.2 million, right? And so he bought a house that's like, say, $300,000, and he bought like a $30,000 car and a $40,000 car, we'll say, right? Yeah. Okay, and then there's you know, $100,000 in the bank, right? So, like, you get the house back, you take the two cars, and you get the $100,000 in the bank. Like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, honestly, it's like, so somebody's like, okay, Sam, what you're doing is illegal. And say you're just ignorant and you don't know what you're doing that is illegal, right? Because you're just ignorant, completely ignorant like that, right? Which it would be hard to do in a lot of circumstances, but let's just say that's the case. And they just take the gains from it and there's no like actual consequences. Doesn't that seem like you have like, I don't know what the rules are in Florida for like weed and shit or whatever, but you have like a certain amount of weed, right? I think, right? You go to jail, right? You have a tiny, itty bitty amount of weed. Maybe it's a pound. I have no idea. I don't know, like, smoking or whatever, but like you have some amount of weed and you get caught and you go to jail. Think about the consequences. You physically get removed from your life, living like with your wife, your girlfriend, you're going to work, you're going to the gym, you're doing all of these things, right? And you get physically removed for having some fucking amount of weed. And yet you go do something that's blatantly illegal and the consequence is like, okay, give us the money back. that doesn't make any fucking sense to me, bro.
That's weird, man.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's weird. Well, I mean, you know, weed's not worth that much and houses are. So, you know, follow the money.
All we're getting back is like $200,000 or $300,000. The guy doesn't spend any time in jail. This is completely like the weed thing disrupts your whole entire life, right? But like, okay, if somebody's like, say, okay, Sam, what you're doing is illegal, right? Okay, and they take that. Okay, cool. That doesn't interrupt my life. Like, I can't continue living my life because I'm in a fucking jail cell, right?
Yeah, that shit's crazy, man. I think that's a good way to end this one. Man, there's a lot of weird stuff in this world today, but that's just kind of, that's where we're at right now. So we can always move down to Honduras. I'm sure it's probably nice and chill there. The government probably doesn't really mess with people. They're just happy that you give them some money that so they can keep running the country.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well, see you guys in the next episode. We're going to get more into this in that episode. Peace.